Hello everyone, and welcome to the latest installment of the Borders Blatherings podcast. Our podcast where we shine a light on the curious, shadowy, and often magical history of the Scottish borderlands. I'm joined as ever by historian and author, or author and historian, Mary Craig. I do hope you're well.
Yeah. I'm very well, thanks, Doug. How are you?
I am actually well and better. There's been a little bit of coughing on the last few episodes.
There have been a few, yes.
Maybe the outside broadcasting we've done. I went for an X-ray 3 weeks ago now, right. Local hospital. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard the results yet, but I'm hoping everything is clear. But I'm not going to point the finger at any of the health staff here, like many people do. Mm-hmm. It's been interesting how clapping has morphed into slapping of our nurses in this country.
Yes, I do remember going out during COVID and giving a round of applause to the nursing staff. I'm not quite sure what that was supposed to do, but, you know, I did join in. But now, of course, these horrible, nasty nurses and doctors want more money. How dare they? Yeah. More money to save our lives. It's an outrage.
And you know, language does matter. And apparently they're not asking for a pay rise.
Oh.
They're asking for an inflation-busting pay rise.
Oh, how very dare they?
Now, I only have higher economics, but I know there's very little relationship between what they're asking for and the inflation situation. But hey, we're a history podcast, not a politics one.
Yes.
So shall we move on?
Okay.
What I'd like to do is just go back to what I've probably just said in the introduction.
Mm-hmm.
We shine a light on the curious, the shadowy, and the often very magical history of the Scottish borders. Mm-hmm. We've just spent the best part of 2 months recording our multi-part podcast, Murder in Stow.
Yes, we did.
It's taken a lot of toll on us. Mm-hmm. You especially, where you have ploughed through endless archive material and documentation to put together this 5-part podcast. I hope you would agree we can clearly put that in the shadowy envelope.
Yes, yes.
So I thought today perhaps we could perhaps touch on something a bit more curious and possibly magical.
Why not?
But at the same time, stay in the Victorian age.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a kind of link,
there's
at least
a bit
in
of
my
a connection,
head,
yeah.
With that. Now, when I introduced you there as author and historian, uh-huh. I was thinking the other day of one of the books that you had recently published,
mm-hmm.
An Elephant Crossed the Valley. Now, I believe, I haven't read it, it's now in storage since the move, but I believe that's the history of the Weedale Valley.
It is, yes. Over about 2,000 years history, yes.
But the elephant part of that,
mm-hmm.
Got me thinking. You've often spoken to me when I visited you in the archive about an elephant name of Maharaja.
Yes.
Is there any possibility that story took place around the time of Eliza and her two children?
It was in April 1872, so it was the following year.
Well, that's a bingo. But I'd like, through you telling the story, to maybe shine a light on a little bit of magic that could have been brought into their lives.
Indeed.
Rather than lying where we probably think they are, in a pauper's grave.
Indeed.
I've gone all maudlin. I apologize. So let's up the tempo and talk about the elephant of Stow and the borders.
Well, Maharaja, the story actually starts up in Edinburgh with a Mr. and Mrs. Wombwell, which I think is a fantastic name.
Wombwell,
that's a name and
wonderful.
A half. Now, Mr. Wombwell owned a menagerie. Mr. Wombwell's number one menagerie. The problem was that Mr. Longwell's number one menagerie was probably about number eight or number nine, because his menageries kept going bust because they weren't very good menageries, and everybody had menageries and circuses and travelling shows in the Victorian
era. The freak show, the circus was big in Victorian times, you know.
And I think Mrs. Longwell was a bit sick and tired of the number of businesses that had gone bust,
yep,
and the number of times that she'd been travelling in a, I don't know, some sort of cart with a smelly camel at the back of her or something. I have no idea. But eventually she had had enough. And Mr. Womwell's number one menagerie had gone bust, and they were selling off the animals.
Ah.
And they sold off in Waverley Market, which is, there's now a shopping centre where Waverley Market used to be, right next to Waverley Station in Edinburgh.
Waverley shopping centre now, yeah, yeah.
So that was fine. And this had been widely advertised. And one of the people that turned up was a representative of a Mr. Jennison, who was the owner of the Bellevue Zoological Gardens in Manchester.
Oh.
Obviously looking to pick up some animals.
Yeah.
And he pitches up and he bought a lioness, he bought a baboon, a couple of antelopes, and an elephant, a 7-year-old Asian elephant called Maharaja. And this cost him £572.10.
In 1872?
In 1872. It's about £55,000 today.
That's a pricey packet then.
Well, I actually thought it was quite cheap for an elephant, okay, but then I've never bought an elephant, so I'm not quite sure how much. I've no idea. I'll need to phone up Edinburgh Zoo and ask them how much I would, you know, have to buy the elephants, but I've no idea. So anyway, he buys all this. Now, Mr. Womwell also had a chap in his employment called Lorenzo.
Of course he did.
Lorenzo the Lion Tamer. Right, now Lorenzo the Lion Tamer was probably called Fred or something like that. But anyway, Lorenzo the Lion Tamer, and he used to dress up. He almost looked a sort of caricature of Arabic dress, sort of baggy white trousers and a red sash, and
fez.
He had a fez on his head, sort of type thing, you know, the full bit, you see. So Lorenzo, or Fred as he probably was, realises that Lorenzo is now out of a job because, of course, no menagerie, no need for Lorenzo the Lion Tamer. So anyway, Mr. Jennison has bought the animals, and he goes into the station and he says to the station master, right, I've got an elephant. I don't know what the station master thought of all this, and said, I need to get them down to Manchester. So he booked two wagon coaches on the next morning's train to get into Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. So the next morning, Lorenzo pitches up, and the last thing Lorenzo was to do was to load the animals onto these wagons in the station. So he gets the lioness on, she's fine, and the baboon and the antelopes. And then we've got Maharaja.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Maharaja had been born in captivity. This was a tame elephant. Okay, this was a performing elephant. This elephant had been in and out of trains all its life. Okay, was not stressed in any way whatsoever. This was normal for this elephant.
Interesting.
So it starts to go into the wagon and everything's fine. And they start to close the wagon door and the elephant kicks off. And it starts jumping up and down. I don't know, do elephants jump? I'm not quite sure. Anyway, it was kicking out.
Mm-hmm.
And all sorts of racket, and it's trumpeting, and people are getting quite alarmed at what on earth is going on. And it starts to kick at the wooden slats, and it kicks a hole in the wooden slats, and then it starts headbutting it, and its head pokes through, at which point several people in the station start to scream, and somebody shouts, "Mad elephant!" Chaos ensues. So you've got Victorian women having a fit of the vapours and fainting. You've got kids running about going, "Mad elephant, mad elephant." You've got several gentlemen thinking, "Oh, well, I'm used to be out in India, you know, I could shoot it for you," yeah, or whatever. There's chaos going on. And the station master saying, "Get that elephant off my train." So the elephant turns round to Mr. Jensen's representative and says, "You're not putting that elephant on my train." And Mr. Jensen's representative thinks, "Well, what am I going to do? Because the boss told me to, you know, buy an elephant, yeah, bring it down. I'm going to have to tell him that. What am I going to do? Enter Lorenzo. I could walk it down to Manchester."
Mm-hmm.
And the agent thinks, "Well, I suppose you could." He said, "Well, you pay me, I'll walk that elephant to Manchester for you." And so all of a sudden, Lorenzo's got another few weeks worth of work to be able to walk the elephant down. And that's what he did.
So he's travelling from Waverley Station,
from
in
Waverley Station to all
Bellevue,
the way to Manchester.
To Manchester.
Which is fine. So, after the chaos in the station and everybody had calmed down a bit, and being very British, no doubt, had a cup of tea or something like that. Of course, Maharaj of the elephant is standing there perfectly docilely. You know, it's perfectly quiet. The elephant's done, I think the elephant's done exactly what Lorenzo wanted. But anyway, off they trot, and they start walking across the North Bridge of Edinburgh and the South Bridge of Edinburgh, and all the way down Clark Street, heading out of the city. Now, most of the folk in Edinburgh were used to elephants because, well, you know, you have elephant shows and these sorts of things. Yeah. But once it gets down through sort of Midlothian countryside and into the borders, that's a whole other ballgame.
It's like snow in Atlanta.
So the first note we have of Maharaja the Elephant is when he enters our village of Stow. Now, there was a basic telegraph service, but nobody's going to bother to telegraph ahead to say there's an elephant coming, because why would you? You know, it's... So nobody in Stow was quite prepared for an elephant to appear that evening. So there's kids coming out of the school in Stow, you know, with their little bags and all the rest of it, ready to go home to see their mum and their dad. And here's an elephant sauntering past, at which point, no doubt, the kids went running home to go, "Mummy, mummy, mummy, I've just seen an elephant." No doubt they got a clip round the ear and be told, "Don't talk rubbish." So this elephant saunters down with Lorenzo. I don't know how fast an elephant walks, but by the time they get to sort of the centre of Stow, Lorenzo thinks, well, I think it's time to rest the elephant, quite right too. So he goes into the station hotel and says, "Can I get a bed for the night?" And they said, "Fine." He's a bit strangely dressed, but fair enough. And he said, "And I need stabling." And he said, "Fine." He said, "And I need stabling for Maharaja." Now, I think they probably just thought it was a bit of an odd name for a horse, but they said, "Yeah, it's no problem. You can put your horse in the stables." And he said, "Well, no, it's an elephant." At which point they came out and went, "You are not putting that in our stables." So poor old Maharaja the elephant got taken down to the Coiting Green in Stow, and that's where he spent the night. And the next morning, the problem was that, as I said, he was a docile, captive-bred elephant. He didn't do anything. So every local kid in Stow who came along to see the wild beast was really disappointed when Maharaja just, I don't know, just had a munch at the grass and went to sleep. It was noted that the sheep in the next field had all gone up to the far corner, but such is life.
Because the kids were used to sheep.
Exactly.
And they've seen this big grey thing which is just doing what a sheep does.
Absolutely.
How unexciting.
Really boring. Really boring. And the thing was, there was a great rivalry between the kids of Stow and the kids of Fountain Hall. And at that time, the kids of Fountain Hall had the upper hand, because previously, Queen Victoria had been on the train going somewhere, and she'd actually stopped at Fountain Hall for sort of like, I don't know, 5 seconds or something. But the kids in Fountain Hall were braying to the kids in Stow that they had seen the Queen. Well, of course, now the kids in Stow were braying the fact that they'd seen an elephant, and an elephant beats a queen every time.
Oh, every time, yeah.
Maybe that's why I'm never very good at poker, but I think an elephant beats a queen. Anyway.
An elephant trumps the Queen.
Hey, even better. There you go. The old ones are always the best. So the next morning, Maharaja and Lorenzo set off again, and they toodled down the road towards Gala. But again, nobody's warned the people of Gala that an elephant is about to appear. So by the time they get to Gala, it's sort of mid-morning, right? By the time Lorenzo's finished having his breakfast and paying his bills. So it's mid-morning. So most people in Gala are in the mills working. But there's obviously shopkeepers about. There's obviously women going about buying, you know, a loaf of bread and a pint of milk. And they're sort of, you know, they're at the end of Channel Street or the end of Overhaugh Street, and you buy your pint of milk out the shop, and you come out of the shop and there's an elephant going past. You think, okay, I think I'll go back in the shop. There's this elephant. Then, of course, the elephant got thirsty and decided to have a drink. And unfortunately, it chose to have a drink out of a mill lade and not the Gala water. Now, the mill lades are, if you don't know, basically it's a water course, a water channel that's coming out of the mill. But because it's coming out of the mill, not only has it got all the grease and the oil from, obviously, they've been washing the wool, it's got all the dyes in it. So not only do you now have an elephant in Gala Shields, you now have an elephant with a blue trunk. Now, as I say, I'm not David Attenborough, I don't know a lot about elephants, but their trunks are not supposed to be blue.
Usually not, no.
So you know, an elephant with a blue trunk.
You started the story by saying the Wombwells
went
out of business.
Yes, frequently.
I can get why they did. And I'm no Tory. I'm no entrepreneur. But by this time, has no one had the bright idea to... They know it's going all the way to Manchester.
Yep.
Are they not selling tickets? Are they not publicising this?
No,
are they not making
it.
A big deal of this?
I am assuming that Mrs. Warmwell has pocketed all of the money. There's no doubt beating Mr. Warmwell over the head with whatever she's got her handbag going. I don't know, because Mr. Warmwell... I don't even know if they got all of the money or if the money went to creditors.
This is
the problem, but once they had... Once that elephant was Mr. Jennison's down at Bellevue, that was it, because the other animals were down in the train and there was just this elephant. They probably could have sold tickets along the way.
Yeah. So Maharajas, however they walk, stomping through the Borders villages, unannounced and shocking many that he appears in front of.
So he's going through he's going through the centre of Galashiels, he's out heading towards Selkirk, but remember he's got a blue trunk just to, you know, add to the chaos.
Yeah.
So he wanders past Abbotsford, no doubt, I don't know, maybe gave a little trump towards Walter Scott's memory, went past Abbotsford, right, and started heading towards Selkirk, where no doubt all the sheep and all the fields that lined the roads were running in terror from this beast with a blue trunk that was going past. And Lorenzo's still dressed like in some sort of pastiche of an Arabic man with his fez on. I have no idea what anybody thought of this. And they get to Selkirk. Now, we've spoken about Selkirk before. The centre of Selkirk is a tight, tight little marketplace.
To this day, yeah.
By the time they got there, it was market day. There were people with stalls selling bread and cheese. There were people buying the bread and cheese. There were horses and carts. There were merchants. There were farmers. And there was an elephant with a blue trunk. Chaos ensued yet again. People are running and screaming. And of course, because Lorenzo is making the most out of all of this, he's wanting the publicity, he's making sure that Maharaja is trumpeting and jumping up and down and, you know, waving his blue trunk at people. There's people running, screaming. The Chamber of Commerce are coming out to see what's going on. You know, councillors, folk barricading them indoors. No doubt all the kids in Selkirk are all excited about the fact they're seeing an elephant, you know. And it is complete and utter chaos. And because the marketplace is so tight, if you've ever been to Selkirk, folks, you know when the big timber lorries are going through, you can't go through that square quickly, especially if there's horses and carts running amok and upside down.
Yeah.
So there's chaos, chaos, chaos. So he got a bit stuck in Selkirk. Lorenzo had gone into the county hotel in Selkirk to ask for a bed for the night.
Remember
and they'd
it?
Said
yeah.
yes, but they'd taken one look at Maharaja and said, we're not putting up with that.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to saunter down and find somewhere beside the River Tweed. Beside the River Tweed. I'm getting confused with my rivers. So down he goes and Maharaja settles down beside the river overnight. Maybe he had a bit of a wash. Maybe his trunk wasn't quite as blue at this point, but he settles down for the night. Whilst various people write various letters to the newspapers to say that it's a disgrace that a wild beast was allowed to saunter through Selkirk and cause a disruption.
Acting like a bull in a china shop.
Rather than
a blue-nosed elephant in a market square.
Poor old Maharaj, all he's doing is walking. He's not doing anything.
Yeah.
So the next again morning, Lorenzo gets up, pays his bill, goes down, collects Maharaja and starts to walk to Hoyk.
Thank you, Cassie.
Cassie's joining in on the story. I think she's quite excited by Maharaj and his blue trunk. So he's walking through the Borders countryside at this point, and it's a little bit quieter. He's not meeting as many towns and villages, but what he is meeting is the railway, because of course the road runs parallel to the railway.
This gets better. Yeah.
So there are Victorian trains, the Edinburgh-London train, people sitting in the first class compartment of the Edinburgh-London train, thank you very much, look out of the window to see the beautiful Scottish countryside, and there's a man in an Arabic fez with an elephant that may or may not have had a blue tip trunk. This is what you write home in your postcard. Dear sir, you know, I wish to complain about the fact that my holiday was ruined by the sight of an elephant.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's the Fawlty Towers moment. What do you expect to see out of a window in Torquay?
Exactly. gets into Hoyk, and it's market day in Hoyk.
Oh, my God.
Now, obviously Selkirk is a tight, tight little market. It's going, Hoyk, you've got a lovely long high street there.
Yeah.
The trouble is it's a lovely long high street with lots and lots of shops and lots of market stalls and horses and carts and this and that and the next thing, and the same chaos kicks off. Apparently one of the carts coming in had a whole load of neeps in the back of it. The horse rears up, takes fright at this, neeps all over the place. So Maharaja, maybe he was peckish, who knows, apparently tried to pick up a neep to eat it. Didn't like the taste, I'm not blaming him for that, but he threw the neep away. Terror, this mad beast is now throwing things at people.
It's now attacking us.
People are running into the Chamber of Commerce screaming, there's a wild elephant throwing turnips. Lorenzo, no idea what he's trying to do at this point, but there's chaos. The constabulary are called. The constabulary come round the corner. Take one look at Lorenzo, one look at Maharaja, go back to Lorenzo and say, what is that? I'm thinking, you must know what it is. It's an elephant. So what do you mean, what is that? So Lorenzo sort of looks at him, well, it's my elephant. What's it doing here? I'm walking to Manchester. Yes, of course you are, sir. Why are you going through Hoyk? I'm walking from Edinburgh to Manchester, you know, Mr. Wombwell, Mr. Jennison, the menagerie, the zoo, the whole story. PC Plod's taking this all down. Whilst Maharaja, no doubt, is trying to lift his helmet off the top of his head or whatever.
Lovely picture.
And then he says, well, you're under arrest. And Lorenzo said, oh, what for? Causing a disturbance. Lorenzo says, well, I'm not causing a disturbance. Your elephant's causing a disturbance. And Lorenzo says, well, it's not my elephant. It's Mr. Jennison of the Bellevue Zoological Gardens elephant. I'm just walking it to Manchester.
Yeah.
Don't care, you're nicked, says PC Plod.
Uh-huh.
Okay, says Lorenzo. And they proceed to go to the Hoyk police station. Except, I've never been in a police cell. But I don't imagine Victorian police cells were large enough to accommodate an elephant.
I would doubt it.
So then the police have got Lorenzo in the police cell and Maharaja standing beside the police horses who had no idea what their response was. And they sort of wait around for a few hours until the police sergeant appears, takes one look at this and says, get out of my station and take your elephant with you. I think PC Plod got shouted at for having arrested them.
A lot of language here, so Maharaj is now the elephant in the room as far as the police are concerned.
Yes. Well, what on earth can you do? Because if that goes to the sheriff court, is, you know, if you go to the sheriff court and say this man caused a disturbance with what? Yeah. An elephant, well, you'll have to bring it into the courtroom for us to see it. I mean, physically, how are you going to do it?
Yeah. So and is it mad or bad?
So I think this is why the sergeant just basically sent them on their way.
Out.
They went out of Hoyk and they sauntered through the rest of the border's countryside until they reached the English border and then walked down through Northumberland all the way to Manchester, where they were welcomed with open arms. Now, this had made the newspapers. Oh boy, had this made the newspapers.
That was going to be my next question.
When they arrived at Bellevue, Mr. Jennison was ecstatic. The amount of publicity, free publicity that he had got for his zoological gardens, and he instantly offered Lorenzo a job for life. And Lorenzo and Maharaja became one of the main draws at the Belleville Zoological Gardens, basically for the next 20-odd years.
Oh, wow.
Of Maharaja and Lorenzo giving fun to kids and giving them rides. Whether or not his trunk was ever painted blue as part of his Borders adventures, I don't know. But that was our Maharaja and his saunter through the Borders.
And I wonder how... I'm flying off in a direction here, but little kids sitting in a, whatever it's called, the box, the fancy box on top of an elephant...
Is it a howdah? Is that what you
I
call it?
I think so, yeah. And how that's playing in to the whole empire
yes.
imagery you know, the young kids.
Well, that was it, remember, because it was an Asian elephant, and it was just a few years of Queen Victoria being declared Empress of India. And, you know, you've got all these sorts of things. So we knew elephants from drawings and books, but to actually see an elephant sauntering through Selkirk or having a drink out of the mill laid in Gala Shields,
Very nuanced support of the empire.
I don't think it's
intended, but it's very nuanced.
And
have your kids sitting on Maharaja.
And, you know, do you think about your ordinary average Borders kid? It's going to see sheep, cattle, rabbits, you know, ducks, geese. An elephant going through Selkirk. You can just imagine the kids going home and going, the elephant picked up my daddy's name, was thrown at me. It's an elephant in the high street in Hoyk. And imagine all the people that didn't see the elephant. Yeah. You know, all the people that were working in the mills coming home and say, oh, what happened today? Well, there was an elephant in the high street of Hoyk. Yeah. You know, and they're thinking, oh, shoot, I was working on the looms. I missed that.
But think of the language opportunity. No social media photographs, no smartphones. Yep. And so the kids have got to describe their experience and talk about that.
Yes.
And I've been on Maharaja, have you?
Yes.
That whole thing.
The fact that Maharaja has an exciting, exotic name. The fact that Lorenzo, as I say, he was probably called Fred, but he had the name of Lorenzo. For some reason, he was known as Lorenzo the Lion Tamer. But he was in charge of the elephant as well. I don't quite know. I
think given the garb, he sounds to me like a part-time magician as well, with the fez and all that.
I think Mr. Wombwell, it was one of those things where everybody did everything because it was so on the cheap.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, Maharaj is so famous. There have been books written about him. The elephant that walked to Manchester by a chap called, I think it's David Barnaby. You know, and he was advertised, Bellevue Zoological Gardens advertised him as the elephant that walked to Manchester.
Brilliant.
That was why he was advertised, you know, and newspaper stories. And
Lorenzo has job security for 20 years as a consequence of this
I mean, Maharaja, And I mean, Maharaja was, I think, about 7 years old when he was sold. I don't know how long he lived because I don't think in those days, although people were cruel to them, they didn't know how to properly care for an elephant, obviously. Yeah. And, you know, he still is in captivity and in a, you know, but I mean, there are photographs. You can search online, folks, and find photographs of Maharaja and Lorenzo walking about the Bellevue Gardens.
And when you go to the local primary school in Stowe, have you told this story to the kids there?
Oh, yes, they think it's hilarious.
They must think that.
They all sort of want to go and have a look at the Coyton Green to see where he stood.
Where he would have stood.
And I've spoken to kids in Selkirk as well, and they all can imagine an elephant getting stuck in the middle of the market square on market day when it's so busy.
Because you're right, it's a very tight space.
It's a tight little space.
An elephant could do a lot of damage.
Exactly.
On market day.
Once that chaos. And it's just such a lovely Victorian story, because I know the Victorians were good, bad and indifferent, and they didn't have a really good reputation for animal welfare. But on this occasion, Lorenzo seems to have, I think it took them about 3 weeks to walk. It's not as if he made him walk really, really quickly or anything like that. I think Lorenzo took care of him quite
three weeks.
Yes.
No, that's quite... Well, I don't know how fast an elephant
exactly was, I have so. No idea how fast an elephant. And Lorenzo, as far as I'm aware, walked beside him. He didn't ride on top of him. But again, I'm not quite sure. And he didn't, you know, he wasn't chained in any way. He just sauntered about, you know, and hopefully when he got to Bellevue Zoological Gardens, there was another elephant for him to pally about with, because I know they're herd animals. So I don't think he had the best of lives, but I don't think he had the worst of lives either. So that was quite good. But he certainly gave a lot of excitement and a lot of fun to a lot of children along the way through the borders was Maharaja. So
I have no wish to diminish his exploits, but I'm tempted to end by saying, move over, Hannibal. we have a much more fascinating story of one elephant.
One elephant that crossing
borders. The and giving so much joy, fright, amazement to so many different people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Indeed.
But is that mentioned in your book, An Elephant Crossed the Valley?
It is, because Maharaja is only one of the elephants. We've spoken before about the elephant at the end of our crusades. Yeah. He is. There have been a few sauntered the borders in their day.
Who'd have thought? Stowe and elephants.
Indeed.
Not something you hear very often.
No.
Mary, thank you very much. Most entertaining, and you've taken my mind a little bit off Eliza Clafton and the sad story
indeed
from before.
One of the lighter Victorian stories.
Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.